The conversations that we've been having on the podcast have really deeply inspired us to pursue new adventures and also to know that we can do these solo. This is the Adventure Mindset Podcast. We're your hosts, Tanya and Adam, travel filmmakers living in our camper van and out of our backpacks for the last 4 years.
Through our experience and through conversations with others, we discuss travel, adventure, courage, and mindset.
You'll hear from guests who remind us that life is short, that personal growth matters, and that adventure is for everyone, whatever adventure means to you.
Subscribe to join our community. This is the Adventure Mindset Podcast. We're very sorry that this episode is one day late. We basically got sidetracked because we went to do a live Zoom call with our Patreon members. So that leads really nicely in to say that if you're not already a Patreon member, then please do consider supporting the podcast, even though we're not making a great impression by asking for support after posting a day late. But if you support us, then maybe we'll never post a day late ever again.
No, you can't bribe people like that. But no, honestly, thank you so, so much for anyone that supports us on Patreon.
Yeah, it is very, very much appreciated. And if anyone who's listening and isn't supporting us already, the link is in the show notes. But on with today's late episode.
Hello and welcome back to the show. It is episode 54.
54.
And it's the last episode that we will be recording from our rental camper van, Iceberg, whilst we're here in Iceland. This marks the tail end of our 3-week road trip in Iceland.
Yeah, and it has been a great trip. We have got a different episode for you here today. It's a Q&A. We've had lots of questions from the community. So thank you, everybody, so much for your submitting your questions. We're excited to get stuck into them. Some great questions.
Yeah, and Adam hasn't seen the majority of them. So
no, I'm just going to be winging it as we go, which is exciting. But the ones I've seen, yeah, very good.
Well, can we just set the scene to say that you have a slightly a groggy voice?
I think I don't know why. I don't know whether it was from I got quite cold when I was camping in the tent from the solo hike that I did. Some of you may have seen on Instagram that I just did a solo hike. And my throat, since that night out in the tent, my throat has been a bit funny. And I woke up this morning and it's a lot worse than it was yesterday. So I'm feeling a little bit groggy, a little bit run down. But it's nothing serious, so don't worry.
And then yesterday, to top it off, we ticked off something new on our bucket list, something that we actually didn't have on our bucket list to begin with because we hadn't even thought of it. But we ended up hiking on a glacier. That was an incredible experience, and it is really hard to capture the scale of a glacier when you are on it. But Adam got the drone and wow, we just saw some of that footage this morning and we look like tiny little ants on a massive, massive slab of ice.
Yeah, it's crazy. The drone really, actually watching the drone footage back this morning really gave the perspective that it's hard to get when you're actually standing on it. So the drone really added to the whole experience. So we're excited to share that with you when we get around to doing the Iceland film, which will be as soon as possible. But as we keep saying, we've got so many films backlogged at the moment. And that's actually one of the questions I've seen is about how are we finding the balance because we've got so many films. So we will get onto that. But firstly, before we get into the questions, I just wanted to thank everybody so much for leaving your reviews and your ratings. We've got, I think it's 595 Spotify counts for us, luckily. 595 five-star ratings on Spotify. So thank you so much, everybody. It really means a lot. It really helps the podcast. And if there's any of you listening who haven't yet left a review or a rating, I should say, on Spotify, please do. It really helps us. And the other thing is we've got such beautiful, lovely reviews on Apple Podcasts. And we read them all and we enjoy them all. And that is also very, very much appreciated. And I think that helps the podcast in its actual rankings, doesn't it? I'm not exactly sure how all the podcast rankings things work, but I know that comments, or I should say reviews on Apple Podcast, really just help us hugely. Mm-hmm. So thank you so much. Please, please keep them coming.
Yeah, thank you. And at the end of the show, we will be reading out the review of the week. We don't do them every week, but I want to reinstate them. Do you know why? I think it's because sometimes when we're doing these conversations with guests, the episodes are so long that we always want to be really respectful and mindful of your time. We're like, oh God, we're going to be adding more. But I think we should reinstate them because they are so lovely. And like Adam said, we read them all and we appreciate them all. Yeah. So thank you very much.
Thank you very much. Yeah, so reviews of the week coming up.
So let's kick it off. We have two brilliant questions about Iceland. The first one is from Will Roberts, who asks, what was better, your first or your second Iceland trip?
Well, I think that this trip has been slightly better, but I don't know whether that's just because it's the most recent, so it's sitting most recently in our memory, because both trips have been absolutely incredible. The weather this time has definitely been a lot better, so that has made it, you know, we've been so lucky everywhere we've been. We basically followed the weather map and it worked out for us perfectly, which is very unusual for Iceland. So that's definitely helped. But then also the first trip, that was our first time in Iceland, which meant it was our first time seeing black sand. It was our first time seeing like these big blocks of ice on a beach. It was our first time seeing a volcano. We actually got to witness the volcano erupt. So there was a lot of firsts in our first trip to Iceland, which makes it really incredible, really special. But it was more difficult from a work perspective for us, from a filmmaking perspective, slightly because of the light. And also we weren't as prepared. We weren't as prepared for it. But this second time, we knew what we wanted to see that we didn't manage to see last time. And as I said before, we got super lucky with the light. And we're in a bigger van, which always helps.
Really does make a difference, because the first time around, that first trip was about 2 years ago. It was in a VW Caddy that we named Ice Cube. And now we are in a VW Transporter, which we've named Iceberg.
Iceberg, slightly bigger.
Slightly bigger.
And the next one, what did we say? It was going to be called?
Glacier. If we manage to get a bigger
van. Yeah, bigger upgrade. Then, yeah, we'll be in Glacier.
But yeah, it's been a wonderful experience. It's been a lot more comfortable. I mean, we're podcasting right now from Iceberg. We have more room to really live in the van, and that makes a huge difference. So as Adam said, we've loved both trips. They have been wonderful for different reasons. But I also think that as Adam and I have been reflecting on this trip, we've just been saying like, wow, it's amazing to be able to come at this time of the year where there's more daylight hours, where Adam can drive at 9 o'clock at night until 11. And it just feels like it's the middle of the day and you have that energy. So you have more of the day to squeeze in, which means also more adventures.
Yeah, the 24-hour daylight thing has been really interesting. It's, again, that's our first time experiencing that. I've never had 24-hour days at all. And it's been, yeah, it's been really interesting. It's disorientating when it's time to go to bed, but it does mean you can get more out of the day if you're willing to push through, which is maybe slightly why I'm a bit run down and tired, because I haven't been sleeping as much. But yeah, it's great. And one other thing, and I don't want to go into this too much, but in our first trip to Iceland, we were in a place with YouTube where we were putting a lot of pressure on ourselves with our films. So that was kind of hanging over us. We had really high expectations of ourselves as filmmakers. So that was very much at the front of our mind when we came on our first trip. But this time, I think we've relaxed into YouTube a bit more. We're enjoying the process of the filmmaking in a different way, and we're not letting that weigh us down. And yeah, I don't want to go into that too much, but I think we spoke about that a little bit in our Iceland episode that we released after our first trip, or I should say about our first trip. And I also think we speak about that in the filmmaking episode. Which episode numbers are they? Do you know off the top of your head?
Yes, the filmmaking episode is episode 6.
And the Iceland episode?
Oh.
Oh, that's not on our notes, is it? That's not on the notes.
Am I getting...
Let's check that one.
Tut, tut.
No, it's not your... I didn't put them on the notes either.
Hold on. I think 17 or 18. Episode 18,
there we go. So if you want to hear more about Iceland and our first trip in Iceland, check out episode 18, where I think we go into more depth about our experience. Did we speak about the filmmaking aspect?
I think a little bit, but also the tips and tricks, and anyone that wants to do van life in Iceland, what we recommend about the campsites, all of it. So that's covered in that one. I want to move on to Angela's question. She has asked, how did you both find being apart whilst Adam went on his hike without Tanya?
Yeah, thank you, Angela. It's a good question. So as some of you will be aware, I went on a solo hike, my first ever solo hike. It was only one night, so it was a trek, technically. I only learned this recently, but the difference between a hike and a trek is a hike is a day thing, and a trek is any time where you spend a night somewhere.
No, you didn't explain that well.
What?
So a hike is where you go and you walk somewhere, but then you come back to sleep in the same place that you set off.
A day thing.
Exactly. But a trek means you walk somewhere and your legs take you somewhere and then you sleep somewhere completely new.
Yeah. And then you get up and hike again the next day.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. Or you can come back.
So basically a hike is a one day thing. A trek is a multi-day thing. That's effectively it. And so I did my first solo trek, we should say, because I stayed in a tent up a mountain in the snow, actually, which was really cool and really enjoyable. But yes, it was solo, and it's the first time that I've done something separate and like an adventure that's separate from us. Is that true?
I think so. And do you know what? When you say that, it also sounds a little bit claustrophobic.
It does.
Because as a listener, I'd be like, wow, you haven't done anything by yourself. Of course.
Because we're both very independent people.
Yeah, we're both very independent people. We're both only children raised by single moms. And we love to spend time alone as well as separate. Mm. But as life has worked out the last 4 years, we have been living and traveling together full time in our camper van Jits, or we've been backpacking for the last 4 months, and every day we have spent together. And it's been wonderful to experience all of these firsts that we've been talking about.
Yeah.
And getting to travel and making that our job, but also getting to spend some time apart, you kind of forget how nice. I mean, for me, because I know Angela asked us both for our perspectives. For me, I was so happy for you to do something by yourself that I know that you were really going to enjoy, because you also filmed it. So it's a real, just like a creative project too, because it's not the two of us doing it. And for me, I just felt like I had time to think, which was exactly what you felt. It's just time to reflect, being in your own thoughts, even when we're hiking together and we're not talking because we're concentrating on the trail. You can still turn around to that person, you know, and observe something, and you distract each other with those thoughts. But yeah, this time it's really just you.
I think what happens, and what Tanya and I think a lot of couples will be able to relate to, or a lot of people just in general listening to, who even if you work in an office, I think this kind of thing happens, where you'll have a thought, it'll pop into your head, and you'll say it out loud, and then your thought is now into that other person's head, because they have to listen to what you just said. And that is something that Tanya and I do to each other all the time. We're really bad at it. We have a thought, and then we say it, and then that breaks the other person's train of thought. And this being apart, having time on our own, like, we just didn't have any of that. And I was completely focused on just my hike and my film, and I could let my thoughts drift without them being interrupted. And we do know this, because we every now and then we will spend time apart, but I think it just reconfirmed how nice it is for us to have time apart from each other, and how important it is to have time on your own in general, to let your thoughts wander without you interrupting someone, or without you being interrupted, because you interrupt your own thoughts when you start sharing them with someone who's with you as well. So I think it's a balance, isn't it, about continuing to do things. Of course we want to continue to do things together, just in case anyone's listening going, oh, trouble in paradise. It's not that.
This isn't even paradise. I mean, there's no couple as in paradise. No,
but it's not that we are like, oh God, maybe we shouldn't be doing all these things together. Of course we want to keep traveling together. We've got so many adventures planned and lined up, which is something we'll get onto. But I think we want to do things individually and independently of each other as well. Tanya, you've got an amazing project that you are in the midst of planning. I have something that I'm going to do with my best friend, so not solo.
Why don't you tell everyone?
Are we talking about them yet? I thought we were going to wait until they're a bit more solid and planned. Should I just say?
Yeah, just, I mean, why not? This is our podcast family.
Okay, this is our podcast family.
And again, it, you know, to preface this and say, of course, plans change, but it's really nice to take you on this journey of where our thoughts are, what we're hoping to do. And also, just to give a little bit more context before, Adam, you talk about this.
Drop the bombshell.
Drop the bombshell, no. doing this podcast and speaking to people who have taken on solo adventures.
Mm.
I mean, the episode with Sophie, aka Challenge Sophie, that was episode 12.
Yeah, she inspired you massively.
Yeah, really has. There's also the episode with Sarah, who is bikepacking from Spain to Asia. I mean, the conversations that we've been having on the podcast have really deeply inspired us to pursue new adventures,
yeah,
and also to know that we can do these solo.
Yeah, they've kind of opened my mind, I think, to the possibilities that I might not have really thought about mm-hmm. until I actually had these conversations. So you think of solo hikers and people going off and bikepacking, you're like, oh, that's cool. But you never really think, oh, I can do that.
Yeah.
But these conversations have really made me think, oh, maybe this is something that I would enjoy doing. Maybe this is something that I could do. And as a result of that, me and my best friend, Taylor, we are planning to cycle from London to Athens on a tandem bike.
Oh, which we learned is also known as a divorce bike.
Known as a divorce bike or something like that. Taylor found that out during his research. And I think that's because it's the opposite to solo travel. You are just right there stuck with each other through the difficulties of cycling up the hills and the working out where you're going to sleep. I think it's going to be quite intense. But luckily, me and Taylor have a good strong relationship, and we have spent lots of time doing intense trips and traveling before. Nothing quite like this, to be fair, so it is going to be a challenge. So yeah, watch out for that. That is, of course, going to be a film. But Tanya has a solo adventure.
But hold on, people are going to be wondering, like, when is this happening?
Oh yeah, true. So this is scheduled, again,
Tentatively
for April of next year. So that's April 2024.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that'll be really exciting.
It'll be really exciting.
And for me, one, I definitely want to do solo treks. I feel like, I'm just excited having my tent and hopefully a lightweight tent, because Adam borrowed a tent and a sleeping bag from a friend here in Iceland, and your backpack was way too heavy. I could barely lift it and put it on my I couldn't actually physically lift it. So
our best guess is that it was about 20 kilograms.
Which is ridiculous. Like,
pretty heavy in bag format.
Yeah. So we don't have the right gear at the moment, let's just say. But we know that we will. And I'm really excited to go off hiking and setting up camp and just feeling that independence myself. Then the other thing that I really want to do is I want to do some bike packing. And I've never done anything like that before. In actual fact, I'm not a very comfortable or confident cyclist. But I just realize, again, through all these conversations that we've been having with our guests, is that that shouldn't stop you, because if you have a goal, you can still do it. So I want to go bikepacking around Ireland. Also a project for 2024.
2024, yeah. So there you go. Not solo, though. Who are you doing that one with?
Triggy. Okay, just in case you haven't met Triggy through our Instagram or our YouTube.
Or Italy series,
yes. Triggy, aka Trigger, is
AKA our Triggly Wiggly.
Oh my God, he has so many names. And if you've been listening to the podcast for a long time, you will have heard him snore, because when he was around and we would hit record, he would always love to snore. Triggy is my family dog. My mom and I adopted him over 10 years ago. And he is an old pooch. So we cannot guarantee that he will be able to join me, if he will be around to join me next year. But if he is, I'm planning on getting one of those trailers that I can pop him in.
Yeah, because he's also not a very confident cyclist.
No, I don't think so. And I don't think you can teach him now in his old age.
Nah, I can't teach an old dog any tricks.
So those are a couple of our projects. Let us know if you know of any brilliant people who do bikepacking or have done adventures on a tandem bike, because we should have them on the podcast and we should interrogate them.
Yeah, I've never ever been on a tandem bike and I do not really know what to expect. I don't think it's quite the same as cycling on a individual bike. So yeah, it'll be a steep learning curve, and we're aiming to do that in about, I think it's between, there's quite a long window, between 6 and 10 weeks. Hoping to meet in the middle there and make it 2 months, 8 weeks. So it's going to be, we're going to have to cover a lot of kilometers every day, and it's going to be really tough. But yeah, anyway, we'll of course do much more. We'll do a podcast all about this once it's closer to the time, and maybe even in the middle once it's happening.
Mm.
So yeah, that's just a little sneak peek into a project that's happening.
And I just add that whilst you're doing that, my plan is to be learning how to get my scuba diving master's, since now we've done
back in Gili Islands, which our latest film is all about the Gili Islands and us diving, and Tanya really wants to step it up and learn her master's. And that means she can take me out diving, I think.
I know, it's
because I've got the paddy.
Yeah. So, yeah, we're really, really excited. Lots of adventures to come. And I don't know how we ended up on that tangent. Oh,
classic.
My goodness. Okay. I hope we can get through all these questions because we got so many.
Yeah, to be honest, I'm going to call it now and say that we are not going to get through all these questions and that this is probably going to be a two-parter.
Okay,
but
right.
That is fine.
Let's move on to the topic of backpacking.
Backpacking.
Lily has a question, backpacking versus van life. Which do you prefer and is there a difference budget-wise?
Oh, it's always a tough question because I think about this a lot. I think we've spoken about it previously on the podcast as well. I don't think I prefer either. I just think that they are different. And the main difference is with van life, you can be completely spontaneous and you always know where you're going to sleep, in the sense that you know what your bed is.
Mm-hmm.
You have you're in more control of what you eat as well, so you don't have to eat out. There's just another there's a sense of control and spontaneity in van life that you do not get with backpacking. But backpacking gives you the opportunity to explore places that are further afield and that are maybe more exotic, and you can travel further distances in shorter times. But in terms of the budget, it's easier, unless you're careful, it's easier to spend more money backpacking than it is in a van. Because in a van, you do not have to rent accommodation. Mm. You do not have to eat out. And I know some accommodation allows you to cook your own food, but when you're in a new country and don't know the supermarket, that is complicated. And normally the places that you're paying for with a kitchen in your accommodation are going to potentially be more expensive, or you're going to be sharing that with other people, and it's just, again, more complicated. And also, you're going to want to be out exploring. You don't want to be coming home and cooking three times a day or twice a day if you're just thinking about lunch and dinner. But with a van, you have your van with you whilst you're out there, so it's a lot easier for you to be in charge of your food.
Yeah, absolutely. And actually, Wendy has asked, is a mix of backpacking and van life the perfect combination?
I think yes, because I think you get to a point where, because right now, for example, we are really looking forward to going back to Jits. We are flying back on Tuesday and then we're heading down to Devon, and we will be back in Jits by the end of this week, which is crazy. So we're really looking forward to going back to van life and to going back to Jits. But at the end of our Italy trip, just before we were flying out to do our backpacking around Indonesia and Nepal, we were really ready to leave Jits and we were really excited to go backpacking. So I think it's the whole thing that the variety is the spice of life, and mixing it up between the best of backpacking and the best of van life is absolutely ideal if you're in a position where you can do that, which we really fortunately are, and we plan to do that in the future. We plan to do more backpacking and more van lifing.
And just to touch on your point about variety being the spice of life, I think, again, you can apply this to your life, which is on your weekends, you can decide that you're going to go off and you're going to go to your local park or forest, or you're going to go for a hike and just be out in nature. But then equally, then the following weekend, you want to spend time in your town or in your city, like soaking up the museums and the culture, or, you know, having drinks with friends, etc. And that is what makes life exciting. You don't need to think like, oh God, in order for me to be an outdoorsy person, I need to spend every bit of my free time going on hikes and being out in nature, etc.
Yeah, because I would consider myself an outdoorsy person, but it definitely gets to a point where I've spent lots of time doing things outside where I'm like, God, I'm really excited to spend some time in a city.
Mm, exactly. So I hope that that helps, because I know that obviously, you know, everyone that's listening, not everyone is doing van life or backpacking, but it's a good general theme is that if you mix things up, you can just really appreciate what you have.
Just a quick interruption to say a massive thank you to our first podcast partner, which is AG1 by Athletic Greens.
I'm so excited. So we've been using AG1 for the last 2 years when we've been in jets and also during our backpack travels to Indonesia, to Costa Rica, Iceland, you name it. So we're a big, big fan. But if you don't know what AG1 is, Adam's going to tell you.
Okay, so AG1 is a powdered drink. You mix it with water or you add it to your smoothie or you can mix it with juice, however you want to have it. And it is basically loaded with 75 vitamins and minerals. And the way they describe it is it's your nutritional insurance. So if you're out and about, you're adventuring, you're doing whatever, or even to be honest, just in your day-to-day life, not everyone's diet is perfect, but you want to know that you are getting all your vitamins, all your minerals, all your nutrients that you need, then you take AG1 first thing in the morning. And
oh, whenever we take it first thing in the morning, but you can take it any time of the day.
You can take it whenever you want it, but we take it first thing in the morning, gives us great energy, keeps us going, and it's just something that we really like and we would recommend to anyone out there adventuring. If you got it, you want it halfway up a mountain, city that you've never been to, don't know where you're going to get your food, there you go, take it with you anywhere.
Or just your day-to-day life.
Or just your day-to-day
Instead of having a cabinet full of vitamins, which I have been guilty of doing in the past, like, oh, there's vitamin for this and vitamin for that. It's just, you just have to think about this one thing that you add with water and there you go. And
yeah, simple, and it tastes really nice as well, actually, as you said.
We love it. We recommend it. And we're really proud to be able to recommend it to you. If you want to support the podcast, please do use our code. We've got a special offer for you.
Yeah, exactly. So if you're looking for an easier way to take your supplements, then Athletic Greens is giving you a free 1 year supply of vitamin D and 5 free travel packs with your first purchase. And actually, it's the travel packs that we take around with us because they're so convenient for, as the name would suggest, traveling. So if you go to athleticgreens.com/adventure,
that's athleticgreens.com/adventure, you will get this deal and you will help us because every time that someone uses our code, we get some money.
We get supported, yeah, financially supported.
And that is how you can support us, by supporting yourself, your good health,
your immune system.
Oh, the whole enchilada.
Yeah, it does. So you can go on their website, you can read more about all the benefits of it as well. And yeah, that's it. We'll get on with the show now, on with the conversation.
So we had a lot of questions on the topic of making money and filmmaking. So our first question is from Herman, who has asked for some tips and tricks on filmmaking for beginners.
So one piece of advice that I remember reading early on in my filmmaking journey is that if you want to be a creative person and you've got an idea and you've got films you want to make, stories you want to tell, and you want to get into it, then the best thing you can do is get technical, because creativity is something that everybody has to a degree. And the next stage in realizing a creative vision is to understand the tools in which to do it. So it's to use your creativity and explore that through technically understanding the equipment that you want to work with. So in our case, it's like the cameras that we use, the drones that we use, the microphones, the things like that that help us, that become tools for our creativity. So that is what I'd say. I'd say is just learn as much about the tools that you would need to use to do the filmmaking as you possibly can, and then just start experimenting and playing around.
Yeah, and to add to that, because obviously when we've started this filmmaking journey together 4 years ago, we started YouTube, I've been observing you and I've learned so much from you. And just to add more detail to that, for example, whatever camera you have to hand, learn about exposure, learn about like locking focus, like learn about all of the technical bits of whatever the piece of equipment you have, because that will enable you to realize your vision, as you've said.
Yeah, exactly. So you'll be able to tell the story in the best way possible once using the equipment becomes second nature. Then it's something you don't have to think about and you can focus solely on the storytelling or whatever it is that you are trying to do. And we've actually got an episode all about filmmaking, which we mentioned earlier, I think maybe, which is episode 6. It's called Travel Filmmaking, Our Experience and Advice, where I answer lots of questions about my journey into filmmaking, because some of you may not know that before YouTube, I was a professional freelancer for 10 years as a camera operator and editor. So I speak a bit about that and about the things that I've learned and the things we've learned from YouTube and our approach to YouTube. So if anyone wants to hear more about my tips for filmmaking, then that episode has got some stuff there for you.
It does. And actually, this leads us on really nicely to a question from Slow Travel Mini Adventures. Hello, guys. Thank you so much. And they ask, how are you finding the balance? You'll need 6 months to catch up on your YouTube releases. Just to give everyone context as to the reference of the balance. Well, when we talk about filmmaking and our approach to YouTube, we always aim to strike a balance between experiencing and creating. We want the filmmaking to elevate the experience rather than take away from it, or maybe even dictate on the experiences that we choose to have because we want to film them, or because we think that that's what other people would want to watch or want to see us do. So for us, our advice to others and to ourselves is really being mindful of striking that balance so that we don't get burnout, so that we always feel that creative spark. And let's be honest, we've said this before in the past, you don't feel like filming every single day. You don't feel creative every single day. And there's just some times where you don't feel like capturing the moment. So for us, we film where we want to film. And the last couple of months that we have been backpacking, we have been focused on doing our treks, you know, discovering.
But filming. We've been focusing on filming so much that we haven't sat down and edited. If we were to sit down and edit, it would mean taking away from going off and doing the activities and doing the things that we want to film. So as a result, we now have lots of footage in the can and I think 4 or 5 films that we need to sit down and edit. And yeah, and it's very much a personal choice the way that we're doing it. It's very different to a lot of others. But for us, that is the way that it works at the best.
Yeah, Adam, you've always said from the very beginning that that was the approach that you wanted to take to YouTube, that you wanted us to enjoy what we were doing, enjoy the process, and post when we wanted to post.
It's more sustainable like that as well. I think you've got to find a way, if anyone's listening and wants to become a YouTuber or a filmmaker in any capacity, you've got to find a way of doing it so that you can still enjoy it, because that is how it's going to be sustainable. If you're setting yourself up to do something that you're going to just end up finding really difficult and not enjoying, then A, what is the point? And B, that is not sustainable. You're not going to be able to keep that up. So you've got to find a balance that works for you. And we're still working on that, because we do need to step up a bit more, I think, in terms of our production and what we put, in terms of our output and our posting. But having said that, I'm really happy with the films that we have in the can so far over this last few months. And I'm excited to get into the edit and get them ready.
See, that's it exactly, because there are times where you just don't feel like you're in the edit headspace because we're filming something. And so now that we have films from Rinjani, which is in Indonesia, amazing hike that we did, a film from Bhutan where we got to enter into a monastery with monks, and Nepal where we did an amazing trek as well. And as well, of course, our Iceland films, and you also filmed the solo hike. There's so much there. We really enjoyed that filming process, and now you're looking forward to editing those films. So whilst we don't think it's going to take us 6 months to catch up on our YouTube series, it does mean that there's just a bigger break in between the films. But
yeah, we're flying back to Jits. We're going to be in Jits in the UK for a month, and that is going to be all down to editing. So I'm hoping that over this next month we will start rolling out the films.
Joanna asks, do you work as freelancers beside all the work you do related to your adventures? And also Jordan asked, how do you guys make money? Is it enough to live on? So firstly, to say that we have episode 7 is all about funding full-time travel. We share ideas. We give you a breakdown of the figures of how much we've earned as YouTubers. We also share advice that was collated from our community, other people that are living nomadically and that are working whilst they travel. So many ideas there on how you can do it too. And just as a general blanket answer, Adam does not work separately to JITS. This is your full time. I mean, you've got plenty of films to edit. I do have a side business, a small side business, which I work on, and that helps with income. But generally, is it enough to live on? We are still alive, and we always say this, van life is a lot more affordable than the life that we used to have in London, but equally we earned a lot more money when Adam was a freelance filmmaker and he was traveling all over and taking jobs that way, and I was working in an agency. And I can't remember who said this, someone that we watched before, but they said that if you want to have a more of a balanced life as a creator, you have to be willing to accept to make less money. And that is what we've done. We make a lot less money, and in doing so, we just make sure that we spend a lot less too.
Yeah, we're kind of carving our own route and hoping that it works out in the long term. We're not taking the typical advice that we would give to YouTubers who are hoping to earn money, which is, as we said before, posting every week and, you know, making certain types of films that are likely to perform well. We are going our own road. We're doing the things we want to do, and we're filming them in the way we want to film them. And yeah, sometimes we do go through times where we're like, oh my God, we're just not, like, are we wasting our time? Is this ever going to pay off? But those are short moments, and we soon come to realize and remind ourselves of our reasons for doing it the way that we are doing it. And that is not to earn the money. And realistically, yes, of course, we need money to be able to live. And we are, as Tanya says, we are able to fund our current lifestyle through our work. We're kind of, I would say, approximately breaking even in general. But we wouldn't be able to suddenly go, oh, great, let's live a more expensive lifestyle and move into London. Like, we wouldn't be able to do that without taking on other work at the moment as things stand.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that's where we are. And we just hope that in the long run, all this work that we're putting in does pay off a bit more financially. But the reason that we are doing this is for the lifestyle, not for the money. But it would be great to combine those two things eventually.
It really would. I'm just going to skip on to a question from Sally Biddick. And she had asked, how is the new van homestead search going? Because if you guys have been following us on YouTube, you'll know that when we were in Italy, we started looking at what of cheap property or land for a renovation project, what that would look like. When we were traveling through Germany, we also visited a place that sold old ambulances and fire trucks that we could then convert. And the reason I'm tying this into the money conversation is because, as it stands, the money that we make from YouTube and social media, all of that, is not enough for us to be able to say and go, cool, let's buy a plot of land, or let's, buy a new van. So that is why we hope that we will, grow, be able to monetize things like the podcast, for example, in due course, so that we can do that and we can pursue those projects, because
those are still very much the plans. We do want a new van. Like, JITS is still going now, but for how long, who knows? But we do want a more reliable van in the future, and we also would love a plot of land somewhere. And with regards to it being in Italy, we're still very much considering Italy, but we're also considering Portugal, because Portugal has got a lot of incentives for people who are looking to do what we're doing. And also, it's where my best friend, who I'm going to be doing that cycling trip with, lives at the moment. So this is another reason, because of course it's nice to be where your friends are. So yeah, it's still something we're looking at, but we're not about to immediately do it. That's more of a long-term plan. If I was to hazard a guess, it would be mid to late 2024.
That is it. Those are all the questions we have time for today. Make sure you tune in to part two of our Q&A because we got so many wonderful questions. Thank you again so, so much for submitting them. And for anyone that isn't following us already, please follow our new Instagram page, which is at Adventure Mindset Podcast. But before we wrap up, we want to give a shout out to our review of the week on Apple Podcasts. Hell Spells wrote a really thoughtful message and it reads, "Love these guys. I love watching their YouTube videos and so glad I found their podcast so I can listen in work. Wish I had done this when I was younger. Now all I do is plan my Europe trip for 2 weeks in the summer. Loved listening to the very first episode on how you guys met and hearing about your mom and how amazing she was. We bought our motorhome after my mother-in-law passed away. We went for a big one so we always have room for two more and can take friends away. It's the best thing we have ever done. Hope to meet you guys on the road one day."
That is a lovely review. Thank you so, so much. And really excited to hear that you've got a massive motorhome for you and all your friends to bundle around Europe in. Sounds great.
And make sure you message us on Instagram so we can get over a JIT sticker for being our review of the week.
A review of the week that we don't do every week, but some weeks. Anyway, thank you ever so much for listening. And we will see you here same time, same place next week. Actually, not quite the same time. Hopefully, it will be actually on Sunday this time rather than a day late on Monday. So sorry about that.
Yeah, and secret code emoji is...
tomato.